Let's go to Turkey now, where President Tayyip Erdogan has called for snap elections on June 24th. That's more than a year before the scheduled election in November of 2019. Now, the winner of this election is going to have broad new powers, since a constitutional referendum that passed last year changed the country from a parliamentary system to a presidential one. And the election will also take place under a state of emergency, in place after that attempted coup in July of 2016. Borzu Deragahi is a freelance Middle East correspondent based in Istanbul, Turkey. He says the call for these snap elections in June was a bit of a surprise.
There had been hints that they would try to move up the elections. There was some suggestion they would be held in the autumn of this year. The very early timing of the elections, basically in about 66, 65 days, gave some pause and made them wonder about what the motives are. And people are still sort of trying to catch up to why, trying to figure out why the government made this surprise announcement so early. And there's a number of theories out there as to why.
Well, go ahead and share some of them with us.
Well, I think one of the major issues is that there is a new party called İyi, meaning good in Turkish, that has formed and it is launching and it seems to be having some momentum. And this party doesn't so much threaten Erdogan's party, the Justice and Development Party, but it does threaten the sort of nationalist MHP party, which is partnered up with Erdogan. Another issue is the economy. And there's a lot of worries about the economy. Inflation is just a little bit out of control. The lira, the Turkish currency, has fallen dramatically in the last few weeks. And there is a lot of pressure to raise interest rates. Erdogan has been on the record as opposing raising interest rates. He says they should lower interest rates. And so many see this election as a way of increasing the interest rates and putting a grip on inflation without having to worry about political consequences. So they would hold these quick elections and then immediately afterward raise those interest rates that would hurt Erdogan's base.
So, Borzu, we mentioned the attempted coup in 2016 in the background of all of this. And then right after that, Erdogan won broad new powers in a presidential referendum, eliminating the office of the prime minister, consolidating more power into the president's office. Connect those events, the coup and the referendum, to this decision to move these elections up.
I think that the coup happened. It was very traumatic for Erdogan and his party, as well as for many Turks. You know, Erdogan, being the kind of opportunistic politician that he is, tried to make lemonade out of the lemons that he was given. And so kind of used this coup to whip up nationalist sentiment, to garner more support for himself. Possibly the momentum of those moves led him to also crack down on other opponents of his that had nothing to do with the coup. And so, you know, you've had these states of emergencies that keep being renewed. One was just renewed a couple days ago. And this has tightened civil society, space for civil society. And so now you have these elections coming up that are meant in large part to consolidate the wins of the referendum last year. But the thing that is really important to remember about the referendum last year, Erdogan barely won those elections. It was very tight, very close, despite what many opposition people have labeled out-and-out cheating on the part of the government and its allies. And so this election happening right now, I'm reading the Turkish press and reading commentary by Turkish analysts right now, and many of the folks who are opposed to Erdogan are welcoming this election. They're saying that it's a sign that he's looking at these poll numbers, which we know that Erdogan and his allies obsessively look at poll numbers, and they see they're losing ground, and so they're thinking we better hold an election quicker rather than later as the economy eats us up. For many people in the opposition, they're seeing this as a possible opportunity. They're not saying, oh, this is unfair. This is not what we want right now. If you look at the comments from the opposition, they're saying, bring it on.
That's interesting, because a lot of other people seem to be looking at Turkey as an increasingly authoritarian place with power centered in Erdogan's hands. We mentioned the crackdown on dissidents. Turkey is the number one jailer of journalists now, according to the Committee to Protect Journalists. And moving this election up with the new powers that the office of the president has, to a lot of observers, has looked like moving Turkey to a more authoritarian posture.
Regardless of the changes that are brought about by the constitutional referendum last year and the changing of the system, Erdogan is doing whatever he wants. And I seriously doubt that implementing the rules that were adopted last year will change the authoritarian posture of Turkey. And it won't change the authoritarian tone of Erdogan's rule, for better or worse. But this election is somewhat of a gamble for him, because elections in this part of the world, when there is some authoritarianism, generally mean an opening up of the political space, generally mean people holding campaign rallies, distributing literature, having political discussions on the streets and so on. So everything that is anathema to the authoritarian rulers. And remember, once again, there's a huge number of people who are opposed to Erdogan and what Erdogan is doing. And so those people will have a little bit more of a voice in the coming 2 months as the political space loosens a bit ahead of those elections.
Borzu, June 24th for the snap elections. Are these elections going to be what we like to think of as free and fair?
I think they'll probably be free. Because typically in these sorts of elections in Turkey, there's European observers that are scattered throughout the country. All of the parties will be watching very closely. So it'll probably be free. But as to fair, you know, in the past, Erdogan and his party have been, you know, very effective at marshaling the resources of the state to get out the vote, to out sort of propagandize the opposition, to, you know, put advertisements everywhere, to run constant TV commercials in favor of their own causes and parties and so on. And despite all of that, they barely eked out a victory last year. And it just gives you the a very good idea of how polarized Turkey is and how substantial the opposition to Erdogan's project is.
Borzu Deragahi, freelance Middle East correspondent in Istanbul. Borzu, thanks a lot.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.